sin to earth, sin's price to pay. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. See him wear a crown of thorns. See him mocked and laughed to scorn. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. Savior, because he left his throne for me, he's my Savior, because he died in agony, he's my Savior, because he rose in victory. See him stand in Pilate's hall. See him take the blame for all. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. See him hang in open shame on a cross that bears my name. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. He's my Savior, because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior, because he died in agony. He's my Savior, because he rose in victory, and he'll always be my Savior. Savior, because he rose in victory, and he'll always be, he will always be, and he.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Boy, the music program's been great today. The songs, the congregational hymns. You know, when the thunder hit just a minute ago, I looked around and I thought, well, maybe the old boy was off a day. We were talking about this morning, for those of you that are in children's church, I just want to let y'all know Jesus didn't come back. And, you know, so many people around, not just America, but around the world, and people see that. People that maybe don't attend church much or don't know the Bible very well, a lot of people take that kind of stuff serious. But we know the Word of God well enough to know that when someone speaks out about the Lord coming and starts giving specific dates and stuff, just go ahead and put a scratch there, check, you know, and realize the Lord. You say, do you know when he's coming, preacher? No, but I know he's coming soon. That's about all I know. And it could be today. It could be. By the way, it wouldn't bother me at all. Would it bother you? if the Lord came back and delivered us from this corruptible body? Anybody want out of this corruption? In this mortal body? Because when the Lord comes back, this corruptible will put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. Man, can you imagine the Bible says that when we see Him, 1 John 3, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. You know, everybody's got in their mind what they think God looks like. But I'm telling you, when that day comes and you see Him, you say, well, how will we know Him? You ain't going to have any questions. You will recognize Him immediately, I promise you. Well, take your Bible, if you would, 1 Peter 3 and Jude, verse 22. Now, if you're visiting with us tonight, I have chosen on Sunday nights to preach messages along the lines of our theme for the year. Here we are. We're working down toward the end of May, so we're 5 months into this. Our theme is ministering to the multitudes the compassion of Christ. Now, I've mentioned compassion in a number of the messages, but I haven't given it the total focus that I'd like to give it tonight. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read one verse in verse number 8, and then we're going to turn over and read Jude verse number 22. Would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. I want you to underline a phrase here. Peter writing here, and by the way, when you go back and read the previous verses, a lot of this chapter, he's been in context talking about a husband and wife relationship. And then he comes to verse number 8 and he says, finally, which seems to me, if he says, okay, here's the conclusion of what I want to tell you, that's when you really want to pay attention, when he says, finally, here's the end result of what I want to say. He said, be ye all of one mind. Didn't say part of the body of Christ, part of the church. He said, be all of us of one mind. Now here's what I want you to underline, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. Someone asked the other day, how do I become a brother? That's easy. Accept Jesus Christ, and you can be a brother in Christ. And so he says, finally, y'all be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And I want you to notice that phrase, having compassion one of another. And then turn, if you would, to Jude verse 22. This will be familiar to you. The scripture reads, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Now, did you notice he said, and of some have compassion, making a difference? Because there's some you're going to extend compassion that don't want to have you make a difference in their life. They want to continue on the road, but it doesn't negate the fact that you have the right and you ought to show them compassion regardless of whether they embrace that compassion or not. And I want to speak to you tonight, church, on this subject, a cause for compassion. When you look around at the people of our church and the people of other churches and people you come in contact, would everybody agree with me there's a cause? Yeah, there is a huge cause today for the people of God to begin developing and extending and practicing compassion on one another. Now, Father, we pray that you would bless our time. There is a cause for compassion. Today, we live in such a wicked world. People, Lord, are so entangled by the affairs of this world. Believers, Lord, step aside from church, step aside from their faith, step aside from serving God. And yet, Lord, we need to know the importance of being able to extend the compassion of Christ to these dear people. And I pray that we'd learn something tonight from your word. In Christ's name, I ask it. Amen. Now, I've entitled the message, A Cause for Compassion, because that word cause just simply means a motive. Is there not a motive? Is there not a reason that moves the heart and mind to act? You see, a cause, by the way, let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Remember when David went down and at the order of his father to take food down to his brothers, and he went down there, and the Philistines were on one side of the valley, and the Israelites were on the other side of the valley, and every day, Goliath, the Philistine, would come down into that valley and curse God and curse the people of God. Well, David heard that, and he just simply asked a question. Is there not a cause? I mean, giant cursing God, who's going to take the guy out? Somebody needs to go confront him. Well, may I say to you today, just as it was in David's day, there is a cause. There are people today that have tremendous needs and hurts that need someone to extend the compassion of Jesus Christ on their life. And who better to extend that than the people of God? That's one thing that we're commissioned to do. That's part of Christianity. Well, let me say this, church, tonight. Compassion, unfortunately, seems to be a dying part of our Christianity and ministry. And I want you to listen to what I'm saying, because I'm saying this out of love and care. We seem to no longer be able to tolerate the failures of life in others, but we seem to always be able to tolerate them in our own life. Amen. We seem not to be able to tolerate the failures and the miscues that happen in others' lives, but we seem to have no problem tolerating our own. Now, what I'm saying to you is, folks, people are human beings. People will sin. Do you hear me? They're going to sin. They're going to fall. They're going to cause hurt among believers. It's going to happen. It's not if, it's when. It's going to happen. We cannot expect everybody to have a close relationship with God. And even if they do, there's still an opportunity and chance that Satan could lure them away. People are human beings. People will do some things and make some decisions that are absolutely, totally off the wall and against Bible principle. And we scratch our head and we say, why did they do that? Why did they make that decision? Why did they go that direction? Well, my answer to that is, I don't know why. But may I say to you, regardless of what direction they went, that they still need the compassion of Jesus Christ. You see, there's a lot of people that went every which direction in the ministry of Christ. But you know something? He still extended the hand of fellowship. He still extended the hand of compassion to them. People will sink in despair at times due to their life circumstances. People do lose faith, quit church, and God. They do. You say, well, where are they? Well, come walk with me for a while and I'll show you. There's a bunch of them out there. And you know why that some of them are still out there and some of them have not been reclaimed for Jesus Christ? Because in that crucial moment, and listen to me, many times when people get sidetracked and out of the will of God, there is only a window of opportunity for you to reach them and get them back in. Many times we let that opportunity pass us by. Now people do sink into despair. And I want to say something to you, church. And you need to listen to what I'm about to say. People, when they sink into despair, will make decisions and do things that they never ever thought that they would ever do in their life. Are you listening? And you know something? People, when they sink into despair and they make those decisions, we have an opportunity at that point in their life to minister to them on behalf of Jesus Christ, to try to reclaim them I'm telling you, the window is a very small opportunity. We've got to take advantage of it. People have real feelings. People go through real life trials. They don't respond sometimes to situations always in the right way. Sometimes they don't always respond in a positive way. And by the way, sometimes we succumb to temptation and get entangled again with the affairs of the world. Now we'll look at the prodigal son here in just a moment, but he's a perfect illustration of someone who got entangled with the affairs of the world. May I say to you tonight, well, I tell you what, I'm not going to say, how about let's let God say, all right? Take your Bible, 1 John chapter 3, 1 John 3, you're real close there. 1 John 3, verse 17. 1 John 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of, hang on a minute, I think that says compassion, from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, I'm not real smart, but it kind of seems that compassion is a byproduct of love. And to love God and desire to have a heart after God is to practice compassion on the people of God. Now, church, listen to me. People who struggle with loving God preeminently will also struggle with loving people unconditionally. Are you hearing me? When people struggle with loving God preeminently, they will struggle with loving people unconditionally. And if you struggle loving people, then you're most definitely going to struggle showing compassion on people. Psalm chapter 118, verse number 8. Let me give you some helpful advice here. You say, preacher, how do you deal with just all of the things that go on in people's lives? Well, first of all, let me just say this. I don't have to give an answer for their life. Okay? I don't have to give an answer for their life. But you know what I can do? I can try to invest in their life. Now, I want you to listen to this. Psalm chapter 118, verse number 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Now, let me tell you what happens if people get all sidetracked. And the reason that I think that some people have struggled with showing compassion on others is, first of all, they put way too much confidence in people. That person could never stumble or fall. Look right here just a moment. You see this preacher walking up and down this platform right here? If I don't stay close to God and stay right with God, I can fall just as quick as anybody in the pew. That's the reason you don't put confidence in men, you put confidence in God. And you make sure that your focus is on Him. He said, don't trust. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3, listen to what it says. Have no confidence in the flesh. None. Ego, zero. Okay? None. And you know what? If you'll get a hold of those two truths and realize, now listen, I didn't say that you can't trust men. It says have no confidence in man, in the flesh, and their ability to be able to not stumble from time to time. You know, if a church has its focus on Jesus Christ, come what may, they're still serving God. They can still serve God. And all I'm saying to you tonight, church, is that compassion is just simply having that heart that's easily moved by the hurts, the distresses, and the wants of others. But you know, you got to be looking for it. You got to be around people to see that. If you isolate yourself, many times, people who isolate themselves many times struggle with being able to show compassion on people. You see, compassion too often is confused with someone accepting another's sin. Now, that didn't go over real well. Let me say that again. Sometimes, compassion, people get confused because they think if you extend compassion to someone to help someone, that you're condoning their lifestyle. And you know what I say to that? Baloney. Do you think Jesus condoned the life of the adulterous woman? You think he condoned that by showing compassion on her? Absolutely not. Do you think he condoned Zacchaeus' lifestyle? Absolutely not. He didn't condone the life, but he did extend compassion. You see, so we can't get confused. I've been told, I bet probably in my life 100 times, I've been told, boy, you know what? You don't need to help those people. You don't need to help that person. You need to help. Why? Because if you do, you're condoning their sin. Now listen, you know you've heard it 100 times too. But let me say something to you folks. Do you know there are people out there that if you don't help them, if you don't extend compassion, would you explain to me who is? Who is? If we don't start practicing Christianity, then who's going to practice it? If we don't start extending compassion as Jesus did to people, then would someone tell me who is? Who is going to do it? We're going to have to, church. You see, you can still display compassion without accepting someone's lifestyle. You see, compassion doesn't mean I agree. It just simply means I love. Okay? When I extend to help someone, listen, you say, but what if you help someone and extend compassion to them and minister to them and you just don't see any fruit? Well, listen, you just keep ministering, you just keep showing compassion until God tells you to stop. Now, most of the time, he's not going to tell you to stop. But you just keep going, you keep ministering, and then when God says, you know what, don't minister to them people no more, then you can stop. Now, I think it's quite interesting that in Scripture, compassion is connected in Scripture with several other things. Now, I'm just going to write, I want you to write the verses down, and you can go read them later. I'll just give you the item that it's connected with. In 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 23, God speaking there simply says that he extended compassion on Israel, listen to me now, and had respect unto them. So here in 2 Kings chapter 13 verse 23, compassion is connected with respect. Now I have heard till I'm sick at my stomach about people who say, I just don't have any respect for them. Well, let me say something to you about that in just a moment, okay? I can understand you may not have respect for their lifestyle, but you better be careful about abusing someone God created, that God loves, and God desires to be saved because they are His creation. And they are, and by the way, if they're a Christian, they're His child. And we better be careful about how we treat the people of God, and we better be careful even how we treat lost people. Because God wants them to be saved too. We need to treat them with respect. Hey, God displayed respect. We need to display respect. And I don't care how far in a hole a person goes. Listen to me. They're still people. They're not animals. They're people. It's a soul, folks. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? They're a soul, a living soul for whom Jesus Christ died, that when they die, they're going to go somewhere. And the Scripture said that on some, have compassion, making a difference. So compassion is runs parallel in 2 Kings chapter 13 with respect, showing people respect. Listen, folks, I hope no one would go up to a brother or sister in Christ that has stumbled and struggled. I would hope that no one would go up to anyone ever in your entire lifetime and say, well, you know what, you're getting what you deserve. Or something like this, sometimes we don't want to say it quite that point, and we'll say, well, you made your bed, now you're going to sleep in it. Be careful. because your bed may be the one that's being made next. Okay? The scripture says, take heed lest you fall. You know what? God, I don't care what kind of pride, what level of pride God hates at all. It doesn't matter. So I'm just simply saying that respect, compassion is connected with respect. Psalm 78, verse 38, it's connected there. Compassion is with forgiveness. God forgave Israel. Man, I'm telling you, you want to get a list of, as long as your arm, of the things that Israel was connected with and Israel got themselves into. And you know what God said? He said, I forgave you. I forgive you. So compassion is connected with forgiveness. Remember the old unjust servant that went owed a great debt, went to the king, owed about probably in American money, about $2 million, and the king had compassion on him. And you know what he did? He forgave the debt. And you know what that two-bit squirt went and did? He went out and a guy owed him about $2. He went out and choked him, demanded that he give the money to him, and when he didn't, threw him in prison. Bad, bad, bad. Let me tell you what happened. Somebody saw him. And guess who they went and told? They went and told the king. The king said, all right, bring him back. He said, you remember all that compassion I had, and then you went out and didn't have compassion? By the way, does not the scripture tell us that God will have compassion on whom he will have compassion? He'll have mercy on whom he will have mercy? He didn't have much mercy and compassion on that little boy anymore. Why? Because he didn't show it to someone else. Forgiveness. Psalm 86:15, long suffering. Compassion is connected with long suffering. He said, what is that? Let me give you a synonym. How about patience? Okay? You know what, folks? We're going to have to be patient with people. Because you know what? Sometimes they're going to mess up. They're going to do things. Or they just may make an unwise financial decision, and then you may have compassion on them, extend that, and help them get out of that, and they go back and make the same mistake again. See? So we need to be patient with people. Psalm 18 or 86:15. May I say next? Psalm 111, verse 4. Compassion's connected with grace. I wonder how much grace God has. Enough to save the whole world. So you know what? That's enough. That's enough grace to be extended to every person on planet Earth simultaneously. So compassion is connected with the grace of God. Psalm 145:8, it's connected with the mercy of God. Anybody in here have been a candidate for mercy? Listen, you know what all of us need to do? Raise both hands and both feet. We're all candidates. And by the way, when God extended grace and extended mercy, well, I'll tell you one thing, we didn't blink twice before we took it. Amen? Yeah, we took it. When God extended compassion to us, you know what we did? We took him up on it. Now, he says, all right, go and do likewise. Go and extend compassion. Matthew 14:14. Compassion, listen now, is connected with healing. Now I understand in that passage that Jesus is actually healing an infirmity. But may I say to you that there are people that have wounded spirits. There are people that have wounds that they have picked up even beyond outside the church. And they come to church, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for somebody to help bind those wounds up. They're looking for somebody to minister to them. They're looking for a friend. You see, compassion is connected to healing. It's part of the healing process. It's kind of like salve in a wound. Matthew 15:32. Compassion's connected there with feeding. Remember Jesus said, huh, they've been following us all day, or for 3 days, and hadn't had anything to eat. He said, I have compassion on them. By the way, you know what he did? Fed them. Yeah, that's what he did. You know what you may have to do? You say, well, what does compassion, preacher, look like? It may look like a sack of groceries. That's what it may look like. It may look like a tank of gas. It may look like 4 new tires on the car. Amen! Hey, the thing about it is we think the compassion, all we got to do is go to them and say, well, bless your heart. And we think that that is compassion. That's not compassion. Compassion, my friend, is action. It's action. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Here, compassion is connected with guidance. Remember Jesus said he looked upon the multitudes and they were sheep having no shepherds scattered abroad. So you know what? Compassion is helping guide people in the right direction. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 2. Compassion is connected there with those who are ignorant in Scripture. You know, there's a lot of people you can extend compassion on. They just don't know no better. They just don't know. Listen, instead of us jumping somebody's case, and by the way, nobody died and left us God either, right? And so instead of jumping somebody's case about a certain issue or something that they may not know about, how about to say, brother, hey, let me show you something in Scripture here I think that might can help you. Let me show you something in the Bible that someone showed me one day. You know, because right after salvation, I don't always talk right, dress right, go to the right places, hang around the right people. Somebody had to show me what to do and how to get it done. Now, all I'm saying to you is this. It seems to me, church, that this Bible compassion that we're supposed to be practicing seems like it serves somewhat as an umbrella. An umbrella serves as a shield. To deflect, by the way, you might need one here in a minute. An umbrella serves as a shield to deflect the rain, listen to me, from getting on someone or getting someone wet while they're trying to reach a certain destination. Are you with me? This is what we're supposed to be doing. Listen, I don't have to accept some person's lifestyle in order to keep and offer them an umbrella or be kind to them and offer them an umbrella, right? All I got to do is want to. It serves as a shield, as an umbrella. Daniel, come here just for a minute. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Had to borrow one of our umbrellas. And by the way, this is a big one too. All right? Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Daniel's got some issues, amen? And so... Give me a good lucky rub there. But Daniel's got some needs, and I've noticed that he has some needs. And so God says, hey, I don't have to speak to you about extending compassion. It's part of the Christian life. I shouldn't have to tell you. It's just the way, it ought to be a way of life to you. And so I see Daniel. Daniel's got a need, and so I extend to him compassion. By the way, if I don't keep my right relationship and keep God preeminent and love Him preeminently, I'm going to have trouble loving Him unconditionally, right? So I've got to keep my relationship with the Lord, right? So I come see Daniel has that need. So I extend compassion to him. Now, like I said, compassion is like an umbrella. And so as I extend compassion to him, I am literally helping him to move from where he is to where he wants to be without getting wet. See, that's what compassion does. Compassion helps them to get from where they are to where they want to be for God. And you know what they need? They need somebody to hold the umbrella over them and say, hey, come on in here with me. Let me take care of you here, keep the rain off of you. Hey, let's go back this way. And you say, well, how long are you going to do this? As long as they need it. And so you just keep going. You say, what if it's a month? Then you hold the umbrella up a month. What if it's a 6 months? Then you know what? You hold the umbrella up 6 months. But what you do is that compassion serves as an umbrella to help him to get from where he is to where he wants to be. Now, if it's pouring down rain after church, some of you will go right out to the side door. Some of you mamas have to go across to get the kids. There will be ushers there. You know what they'll have? An umbrella. Now, what you want them to do is you want them to put it over your head instead of just over their head. Come here, let me help you across to the nursery. Now, can I say, what good am I doing him if I don't extend it to him and cover him? Do you hear me? And so I'm bringing him from where he is to where he wants to be. And ladies,
from the side door to the nursery. If it's raining, they'll hold the umbrella over you so you can get from here to over there without getting wet. Thank you, Daniel. All right, everybody with me? All right, now, here's what I want to do. I've only got just a few more moments here left, so let's see if we can kind of put the throttle down here. Let me give you some things to write down for just a moment here about the difference compassion makes. Now, the scripture said of some having compassion making a difference. Now, here's the first thing we've got to get in our head. First thing we've got to get in our head is God didn't say compassion might make a difference. He said it will make a difference. It is. It will. It has the power to make the difference. Listen, some of you mamas, you get over here and you're there and there's only two men with umbrellas and we got five mamas trying to get across the street. So you watch them, they walk across there and you wait and wait and wait and for some reason they don't come back. You thought, man, I can't wait any longer. And so here's what happens. You take off running across there. Splash, splash, splash. Shoes wet. Dress wet. And you get right up that little incline as it makes its way to the nursery. And the next thing you know, you think, man, alive, the stars are beautiful tonight. It's because you're laying on your back. Now, I want you to listen. I'm making an analogy. There are good people that want to go from where they are to where they want to be for Christ. They don't have anybody to shelter them and umbrella them to get there. And they don't see any way, any chance. So you know what they do? They just take out on their own. And you know what they do? They get soaked. They maybe even ruin their shoes. And then, listen, you ever run in the rain somewhere? And you get home and say, man, hey, that wasn't so bad. You get home and your wife says, honey, what is that all over your back? Because while you were running, you were slinging mud up the back of your suit. And so you ruined that. Now listen to me. There are people that if they don't see anyone with an umbrella, they're going to take off. You hear me? And what happens is they take off, and a lot of times they never make it back to the church. They never make it back to the place that they want to be. Now, let me give you some things to jot down here. That word difference just simply means a distinct change. So in other words, compassion, the difference compassion makes, it can make a difference, it can make a distinct change, or a variation in direction. Yesterday I was out visiting, I was heading down West Tarrant Road. I got right over there to where it crosses 161, and it's blocked off. And it's got this arrow that says, you got to go this way. Man, I had to go down there about a quarter of a mile, down 161, cut across, come all the way back to Tarrant Road, and then go to where I wanted. Now, the thing about it is, when I came back, guess what I had to do? I came back to 161, and I had to detour and go down this way, cross back over, and come back up, and then get back on 30. Man, they had all kinds of detours, all kinds of variations. And see, the thing about it is compassion can help someone to say, hey, you need to detour. This is not where you need to go. Now, those who practice an abundance of compassion, I want you to listen, I'm going to give these to you real quick. Those who practice an abundance of compassion are usually those who have been the recipient of an abundance of compassion. And you know what? Because they have received much, they give much. Those who have received little, many times give little. Now, you say, okay, what's the difference compassion makes? All right, let me give these to you real quick. First of all, number one, it helps the restoration process. It helps the restoration process. I'm not going to go there. You can go read Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1 yourself. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye, that's us, which are spiritual, what's that mean? That means those of us that have God preeminent so that we can love people unconditionally. You which are spiritual, what does it tell us to do? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. And then you know what the Holy Ghost did? He put a period right there, didn't he?
comma, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see, the thing is, we better get on this thing of showing compassion, because one day we're going to need some compassion. It's guaranteed, folks. It's a guarantee. And what it does is it gives hope of restoration. Not only a restoration with the relationship with God, it gives hope about restoration with family. It gives meaningful life to someone. Folks, look, there's all kinds of folks, not just in our church, but in all churches. There are people that have messed up what we would probably consider, boy, they messed up big time. Yeah, they have. But who's going to help them? Hey, I'll just be frank with you. Can I just be frank? Who's going to help the unwed mothers? Huh? Who's going to help them? Who's going to go to them and say, hey, listen, you know what? I want to minister to you. I know this is a change in life, and I want to do everything I can to help. Now, the thing about it is, folks, we must not isolate people. We must go to them and help them. Listen, I'm telling you, that's a soul for whom Jesus died. We've got to help them. And by helping them doesn't mean that we have to condone a lifestyle. But you know what? The thing about it is, they need somebody that gives them hope that they can be restored. That they can be restored. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people what? You know, a lot of times we stop right there, but I want you to listen to the rest of that verse. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You see the thing, you want to be happy, don't you? You know how you can be happy? Go make somebody else happy. By ministering to them and extending compassion to them. So the difference compassion makes is, first of all, it gives hope of restoration. Number two, it opens eyes to truth. It helps people open their eyes to truth. Take your Bible, go to James 5 real quick. Okay? We've only got just a few minutes. James chapter 5. You say, preacher, that's never bothered you before. I know, but I'm just throwing it out there. All right? James chapter 5. Look if you would. Okay, James 5. I think these verses here in James 5, verse 19 and 20 have a dual meaning here. I think that James may be talking definitely to save people, but I think in the last part he may be even making reference to lost people. But look at James 5, verse 19. Brethren, so we know here he starts off, so we know he's talking to saved people. Now I want you to listen to what he says. If any of you do err from the truth, if any of you err from the truth. Now, he didn't say if any of you really erred from the truth. If any of you really, really erred from the truth. He said, no, if any of you erred from the truth, period. If any of you err from the truth and one, what does that word? Convert him. What does that word convert mean? Does that not mean reclaim? Does that not mean change directions? Now, he's talking about brethren there, but listen to what else he says. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Now I want you to look at this. This is interesting. And shall hide a multitude of sins. Now it's interesting just simply to say that in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 12, the Holy Spirit words it this way, but love covereth all sins. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8, 9, and 10, you will also find there that he says charity. Do you hear me? Love with action. You know what it does? It hides a multitude of sins. Now, you say, well, preacher, we shouldn't be sweeping it under the rug. He ain't talking about sweeping it under the rug. Remember the umbrella? Okay? Remember old Daniel up here? He said when you show compassion, you know what that compassion's like? It's like the umbrella. You know what it does? It guards, it covers you from a multitude of things because you're trying to get from here over to here. And the thing about it is, you know what? You want to get there and try to keep from getting wet.
So what it does is compassion opens the eye to truth. It opens the eye to biblical principle. Like Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Hey, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It gives you an opportunity to teach. Now, number 3, quickly. Compassion makes a difference. Why? Gives hope for restoration. Number 2, opens eyes to truth. Number 3, displays personal sacrifice. It displays personal sacrifice. Write down Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 35. You know what you'll find there when you go read that? It's called the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember the old boy that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and in route there, he fell among thieves. Now, the amazing thing is two other people passed by before the Samaritan passed by. But you know what? They passed by on the other side. Didn't do anything. By the way, they saw the man in the same condition the Samaritan saw him in. And may I say too, you'd be amazed at how many people that have the Christian plastered right across their forehead do the same thing every day. They pass by on the other side and they see the same condition everybody else sees. And you know what the Samaritan did? The Samaritan went to him, bound up his wounds. Oh, by the way, did I say that the scripture also he had compassion on him? He had compassion on him. He didn't say, you know what? Hey, man, don't you know that thieves live on this highway? Don't you know that, you know what? You ain't got a whole lot of sense coming down this highway here. Get up. Come on, man. Man, you ought to know better than this. Look, you don't even have a weapon on you. He didn't spend time telling him about all the things he should have done. You can do that till you're blue in the face. But it's not going to change what they've already done. Okay? So what you've got to do, you know what? He didn't even address that. He went to him, bound his wounds up, put him on his own donkey, took him into the town, put him in the inn. Oh, by the way, you know what else he said? He told the innkeeper, if you spend more, go ahead and pay it, and when I come through, I'll reimburse you. Whatever it is. You see, compassion helps people see personal sacrifice. It answers the questions to, why are you doing this for me? Because Jesus loves you. You see, you show a sacrifice of time and money. And by the way, you know what it'll do? You show compassion on a person that's appreciative of it, it'll motivate them to go do the same thing for someone else. Let me give you number 4. Number 4. And that is the difference compassion makes. You can change a life forever. You can change a life forever. Remember Luke chapter 15? You know what you'll find there? A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of the sons came to his father and told him, Father, give me mine inheritance. Now, kind of had a cocky attitude about it, didn't he? He said, give me what's mine. Now the father gave it to him. I don't think he wanted to, and I think he gave it to him brokenheartedly, but he gave it to him, and the Bible says he went into a far country and spent all his substance, spent all of his living, spent everything on riotous living. He runs out of money. He has no food. He has no shelter. He probably only has the clothes that's on his back. Finds himself about to eat what pigs eat. And then the Bible said, he came to himself. Now, you read into it what you want to, but I'm telling the story, all right? Here's what I think right before he put his head down in that pig slop. I think he thought, you know what? Boy, I've got a good daddy. And you know, I've done a lot of stupid things in my life. You know what Daddy has always done? He's always shown compassion. He's always come to me with a heart full of love and action to try to help me. I think he'll do it again. So he got up, went home, and boy, sure as the world. Boy, he called it right, didn't he? Because when he got home, his father saw him coming afar off. He ran, fell on his neck, and had compassion. You say, well, that sorry rascal, man, treated his daddy like dirt. So what does that matter? Spent all of his inheritance, smart aleck kid. So what does that matter? Does that negate the fact that I'm supposed to extend compassion? Not at all. Jesus didn't say, only extend compassion, but under these conditions. Never said, listen, only extend it if they meet this criteria. And if they meet this criteria, then you can extend it. But if they don't, sorry. You know what the father did? He didn't say, get in there, boy. You're going to get a whooping. Now you know what he did? He said, kill the fatted calf. Get a robe and put on him, a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. He said, my son, which was dead, is now alive. He once was dead, but now he's alive. And you know what they did? They threw a party. Had a good old time. But you know what made the difference between a smart aleck boy and a boy that said, Father, I don't deserve this. I don't even deserve to be called thy son. Just make me one of the hired servants. He said, you can never be a hired servant. Ever. You're my son. Change of attitude. Wait a minute. What do you think changed that? Compassion. Compassion changed that boy's life forever. You see, the reason the older son got all ticked off and everything, probably hadn't received a whole lot of compassion in life. Probably hadn't extended himself and opened himself up to it. You see, by extending compassion, it makes a difference. You can change a life forever. You know what you do? You show the real side of God. I'm telling you, folks, I'm way too afraid that we're giving people the wrong idea of who God is. We think God is ready with a steel-toed boot to put that right upside their head. When actually, His first condition, His first approach to us is always in love. Always. You show the real side of God. You help them to understand that God really does care. Yeah, He does. You know what you also do? You also build faith back in Christianity. That there are actually some people that actually practice what they say they believe. You reestablish their confidence and faith in God and His purpose for them. Now, let me wrap this up and just say this. Remember I told you a while ago that regardless of what the need is, what the problem is, and folks, I've been doing this too long, the window of opportunity, once that person needs the umbrella, the window of opportunity is very small. And the longer it goes, the smaller the window gets. You hear me? And then what happens if it gets so small and they see no hope? You know what they're going to do? They're going to take off across here without anyone to help them with an umbrella. And they endanger themselves. Now let me say this and I'm done. More and more people are losing faith in Christianity. Not because of the Bible and truth, but the lack of practice of the principles Jesus taught and exemplified. You see, they see no real believers practicing what they say that they believe. Now, let's not give people an excuse. Let's not give them an excuse to point at us and say, oh, you Christian people, y'all just hypocrites. Let's use the compassion of Christ as an umbrella to help someone get to where they need to be. And you know what, folks? You say, well, preacher, I'm looking around. I just don't see anybody that's in need. Well, I tell you what. Hang out in the foyer for a little while and listen and watch. You'll find some needs. And you know what you need to do? You need to get that umbrella and walk over to that brother and sister in Christ and say, listen, let me walk you across to the nursery. Let me walk you across here and help you.
during that time. Let me cover a multitude of things that you're going through with the compassion of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads tonight? How many can say, "Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved. No question about it. I've been born."